What is Satanism? Satanism is the world's first carnal religion. Carnal religion. Carnal, carnal, carnal religion. Satanism is thrown at Christianity altogether. Thrown at Christianity altogether. And we see them as being irrelevant, irrelevant, irrelevant. And we see them as being irrelevant to mankind.
Satanism has grown to a point now where it's an established religion more and more. People are going through their lives as Satanists. People are going through their lives as Satanists. The population as a whole are beginning to understand that it's not some adolescent fad.
We're talking about you pulling your kids out of the public school system. What was their initial reaction?
The minute it was done, the relationships within the family got so much stronger that we wondered why we hadn't done it in the first place. The question was said, but now my focus is on learning and my family, not what I'm going to wear, not who I'm going to impress. And we were, in fact, people commented on it all the time that we were the most closely knit family anyone had ever seen.
What, in your opinion, would be the best way to go about recognizing pseudo-Satanism?
They should write down the following word: the Satanic Bible. When we have people who are so distorting what Satanism is about that they move it into a deification, they move it into a form of Judeo-Islamic Christianity where you are worshiping some kind of an external deity which has all power and all of this, this can really work against any person who wants to develop strength within.
Why dabble in the dark side when you can dive right in?
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
It's Satanism today. Here's David Harris.
Good afternoon, all. Haven't said that on the air in a long time. Not since my days doing afternoon drive radio for WSNN in Potsdam, New York, 99.3, the heart of the North Country. Ugh. I shouldn't say that. It was a great station in terms of people that worked there, and I love the people that worked there, and I love my job. It was built as a family station, and I always said, well, we are a family station, and I'm just the uncle that everyone tells the rest of the kids to stay away from. Why am I getting distortion in my headphones here? Let's just do a little adjustment. So how did everybody enjoy their Halloween, huh? Hope it was pleasant and enjoyable for everybody. Hope you all had a very, very indulgent and happy, happy Halloween. I know I did, relaxing, as I am wont to do and never get to do. So I took a little time for myself and the little woman. Watched some scary movies and enjoyed each other's company. First time I've had a night to relax in 3 months. So, with that being said, the election here in the United States is just around the corner. And if you've been listening to this program for any extended period of time, you know that I'm a political junkie. But at the same time, I have absolutely zero interest in voting. Because there's no point. There's absolutely no point in voting this year. Or any year in a presidential election. I've come to learn this, as I'm sure many of you have as well. Primary reason is that the results of these elections were determined ages ago. Ages ago. By the powers that be. And so the only thing that you as the Satanist should be doing is paying close attention as to how you'll need to modify your life and your behavior in order to continue leading the best life that you can lead. So pay close attention, folks. Watch those returns come Tuesday. But don't waste your time standing out there online with the rest of the lemmings, casting your vote as if it mattered. Because it doesn't. Anton LaVey had some, little bit of things to say about presidential politics. This is actually from an interview that can be found on churchofsatan.com from MF Magazine. You can get it under the interview section of the Church of Satan website. Anton LaVey said, "It's difficult for me to think of the government as acting in any other than a Machiavellian manner. When the timing is right, it will change accordingly. I am not quick to criticize the government or the president. They are whipping boys for the mealy-mouthed constituents who vote them into power, then complain. As you can see, I have little respect for the herd. Like their gods, they create their governments according to their needs. All governments and their symbolic leaders are simply sounding boards for the temporal whims of their citizens. If people weren't so easily manipulated, there'd be no exploitation. The extreme right wing, like the extreme left, I find to be a rather humorous lot, given to blaming everyone but their own kind for the plight they crusade against. The same applies to racism. There would be no problem if the genteel white man had done something when he was the majority. Now he's trying to close the barn door after the horse runs away. That's why I believe in stratification, by allowing water to seek its own level. It's something that can and is being done. I'm all for a police state. No messing around. There should be an armed guard on every street corner. The Israelis have the right idea. School bus drivers and McDonald's managers carrying Uzis." That's right. There's no real need, as much as, you know, we like to, and I certainly count myself amongst people that like to do this, overtly criticize whomever it is that's in office, because there's really no point, because it's all the fault of the voters. Always has been, always will be. Whatever happens in this country, and in any country for that matter, where there are free elections, blame can be placed squarely on the shoulders of the voters that contributed to the process. So, people always wonder, ask, why I pay attention to, what's the word I'm looking for? Trends, popular trends within society. And I do. I pay quite a lot of attention to popular trends within society. The reason for this is to find out what the herds got their eye on. And if there's any way I can exploit it. And if I can't exploit it, how can I avoid it and not be exploited myself? Keep your eyes and your ears open, folks. Because after Tuesday, regardless of who wins, things are going to get pretty interesting. So, with that being said, let's let's start this off with a story about the Vatican. I think that's where we'll start. Yes. Vatican priests. Finally, have modified the guidelines, the screening guidelines, for membership into their priesthood. This comes from My Fox in Orlando. The Vatican issued a new psychological screening guidelines for seminarians on Thursday, the latest effort by the Roman Catholic Church to be more selective about its priesthood candidates following a series of sexual abuse scandals. The church said it issued new guidelines to help church leaders weed out candidates with psychopathic disturbances. The scandals have rocked the church in recent years, triggering lawsuits that have cost hundreds of millions of dollars in settlements. The guidelines became ever more urgent because of these sexual scandals, said Monsignor Jean-Louis Bergieu to reporters. He stressed, however, that psychological testing was used in some seminaries as far back as the 1960s, or at least a decade before the sexual abuse scandals exploded in public. Quote, "In all too many cases, psychological defects, sometimes of the pathological kind, reveal themselves only after ordination to the priesthood," the guidelines said. "Detecting defects earlier would help avoid many tragic experiences." I was under the impression that, like Grace Marie said in the chat room, no sex means no sex. Regardless of your psychopathic your psychopathic sexual leanings, what is one doing putting themselves into the priesthood of the Catholic Church? They can't keep their cock in their pants. The guidelines said problems like, quote, "confused or not yet well-defined sexual identities need to be addressed." The Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests said the Vatican needs to go beyond screening seminarians to end what the group calls the church's, quote, "virtually unchanged culture of secrecy and unchecked power in the hierarchy that left dangerous priests in parishes." Quote, "Every barrel will always have some bad apples," the Survivor Network said. "Real change requires effectively reforming the barrel and those who oversee it." Vatican officials conducted an evaluation of U.S. Roman Catholic seminaries in response to the abuse crisis to look for anything that contributed to the scandal. The evaluation was completed in July of 2006, but the results have not been made public. The bishops and seminary staff who conducted the on-site reviews gave special attention to what seminarians are taught about chastity and celibacy. The Vatican also directed the evaluators to look for evidence of homosexuality in the schools. Studies commissioned by the Bishops' Conference have found that the majority of known victims of abuse by priests in the last 50 years were adolescent boys. In response, some Catholics have blamed gay clergy for the scandal. Experts on sex offenders contend homosexuals are no more likely than heterosexuals to molest children. How ridiculous is it for the dumb Catholic Church to equate homosexuality and pedophilia? It just ain't so. Science has proven that time and time again. Oh, wait, that's right. We're talking about Catholics here who piss in the face of science because it doesn't jive with their book. Although we'll talk about something a little bit later that attempts to contradict my point. 2005 Vatican document said men with deep-seated homosexual tendencies shouldn't be ordained, but that those with a transitory problem could become priests if they had overcome them for 3 years. The Vatican considers homosexual activity sinful. No shit. This has been a big problem that I've had with really hardcore Christian conservatives for a long time. I've got quite a few gay friends who still try to attend some semblance of a Christian church, and I for the life of me, don't understand why. Because Christians hate gays. It's bottom line. They people who would pay strict adherence to the Bible hate homosexuals. Hate the homosexual lifestyle. Think that they are going to hell. Period. Any Christian that says that they don't isn't following Christianity. Personally, I think that's fine. I don't think anyone should follow Christianity if it doesn't jive with their own personal set of morals, which Christianity really doesn't, but I digress. Um, ultimately, hardline conservative Christians, Catholics, cannot differentiate between homosexuality and pedophilia. Whereas anyone with a rational brain understands that one has nothing to do with the other. A pedophile is a pedophile, and a pedophile is a sick human being that needs to be put down. Homosexuals, depending on their gender, just happen to like people with the same sexual parts. That's it. Grown adults. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Yet, hardline Christian conservatives can't tell the difference because they don't exercise basic critical thought. They instead rely on what their pastors, their priests, their rabbis, their bishops tell them, spoon-feed them, because they'd rather not think. The new guidelines reflect the earlier teaching, stressing that if a future priest shows deep-seated homosexual tendencies, his seminary training would have to be interrupted. The guideline says priests must have a positive and stable sense of one's masculine identity, and the capacity to integrate his sexuality in accordance with the obligation of celibacy. Translation? Fag-bashing parties at the Catholic Church. That's right. Priests will now be sent out into Chelsea, San Francisco, with baseball bats, told to beat homosexuals. That's how this will go down. And a solid sign of the showing of masculinity. Priests will assault homosexuals with long, hard bats. The church is struggling to provide enough priests for parishes in many parts of the West because of waning vocations, but Pope Benedict XVI has said it is more important to have good priests than a greater number of priests. So, there you have it, folks. More idiocy from the Catholics. It doesn't stop. It never will. And, Robert W., the power of Butch compels you. So that's really all there is to that. It's just more idiocy from the Catholics that for you to be aware of, so that you know what Catholics are teaching their parishioners, so that when you encounter this in the real world, you know where they got it from. We'll have more. Let me come back. Stick around. You're listening to Satanism Today.
Now available from Purging Talon is the debut authored book by Church of Satan Magister Matt G. Paradise, Bearing the Devil's Mark. Bearing the Devil's Mark is a bold and no-nonsense treatise on the subject of Satanism. Not from the perverse pen of bitter and jealous Christians, or even their pagan counterparts, but straight from the satanic perspective itself. Sex, love, politics, technology, the God religions, and more. All brought to you by someone with over 25 years of actively living the satanic philosophy. To order, log on to purgingtalon.com. Bearing the Devil's Mark, new from Purging Talon. Do you bear the mark?
You know, dogs are different than cats, and hey, what if Jack Nicholson were a...
Hey, what if We Are the World was sung by the cast of Friends? I think it might go something like this.
Hi, everyone, I'm Jay Leno. Anyone remember when I was funny? Eat Doritos.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dane Cook.
Are you fed up with comedy that's made for the masses? Sick of stand-up comedian hacks with the same old routines that you've heard a thousand times before? Equally tired of shock jocks who equate loudness with laughter? Hello, my name is Reverend Bill M., creator and host of The Devil's Mischief, a show where every week I present a new hour of comedy and novelty of devilish proportions. So tune in to The Devil's Mischief. Visit devilsmischief.com or radiofreesatan.com to download the latest podcast. The Devil's Mischief. Carnal comedy clips and netherworld novelty numbers simply not made for the masses.
Available now from the House of Netherworld. A stirring and brilliant tribute to the founder of the Church of Satan, Dr. Anton Zandor LaVey. The Anton LaVey bust has been sculpted in the neoclassical style of the late 19th century and reflects a refined and artistic sensibility. This will surely become the centerpiece of many an altar in the finest of lairs. Each bust is hand-cast and hand-finished in a faux bronze designer polyresin and will outlast us all. This profound piece of artwork can be yours for $135 plus shipping and will include a special blend granular incense entitled Maestro, courtesy of femaleaddictions.com. The Anton LaVey bust is also available in a special Iron Age finish, which is available to Church of Satan members only. Production on this product was limited to 200 pieces, so order yours today. www.antonlaveybust.com. www.antonlaveybust.com.
Hate Speech Radio on cringehumorradio.com. Enthusiastically endorsed by members of the Opie and Anthony Show.
And what's the name of your show again?
She's on Hate Radio. Her name is Hate fucking whatever. Hate Speech. Thanks.
What was it again? Hate Speech Radio? Give them a plug for the kick farting.
Cringe Humor, right?
Cringehumor.net. Cringe Humor Radio, what?
Oh, well, that's no title for a radio show, I hope.
And what's the name of your show again?
It's Hate Speech Radio.
Hate Speech Radio, how
on
do we get there?
CringeHumorRadio.com.
All right, very good. Hate Speech Radio, right?
Hate Speech Radio on CringeHumorRadio.com. Enthusiastically endorsed by members of the Opie and Anthony Show.
That's right. Let's see how long it takes XM to sue us for this one.
And what's the name of your show again?
Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on CringeHumorRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
I love They are so delicate, so light, so close to being nothing, but so emphatically something. They are subtle and tend to be wasted on
beer.
I'm Dave Ingram.
And me, Donovan Spensley.
And you can join us at
DarkSentinel.dk
for a multitude of metal bands.
What fun?
Crap, cream, everything in between.
And more alcohol than you can shake an empty beer crate at.
Nothing makes a more exotic party.
The same diluted metal claptrap as abused by Vincent Price.
Well, almost.
Pork.
You'll be sparkling with larceny at
www.darksentinel.dk.
Sit back and enjoy the compliment.
Piss off! Ein, zwei, drei, vier!
Sugar-coated Rice Krispies whispered to me, yeah. I read it on a bumper sticker stuck in traffic just the other day, yeah. And then I cracked open the good book and decided to blow them away. Oh, hell, I cracked open the good book and decided to blow them away, yeah. Well, I mean,
It's cynical.
I'm a little more than that.
Sophisticated.
Vanity is definitely my favorite sin.
And satanic.
Let me give you a little inside information about God.
It's Satanism Today, and here's your host, David Harris.
631-458-0592 is the phone number. It's Satanism Today. I am your host, David Harris. Give a call if you're listening live on Saturday, November the 1st, our first day in our new time slot. You know, the funny thing was, my main impetus for moving the day was that I was just too exhausted after getting home from work on a Tuesday night to put forth my best effort into doing this program. So I figured I would try to up my energy level by changing the day to a day that I don't work. And of course, what did I do today? I worked overtime. So anyway, as I said, 631-458-0592 is the phone number. You can Skype us as well if you've got Skype on the old computer. Skype ID is satanismtoday.net. Or excuse me, no, Satanism Today Radio. And if you're out there listening in podcast land, you can always email the show at reverendharris@satanismtoday.net. So, as I said in the last break, Pope Hitler the 16th, oh, I'm sorry, Benedict, seems to think that there's no contradiction between believing in God and believing in science. Where's my Snoopy laugh? Where is it? Where? There it is. I love the Snoopy laugh. That's my new favorite clip. Now, how asinine is this? Let's forget for a minute that the Bible, most Bible scholars believe the earth to be 6,000 years old. So therein, you know, lies a big, big issue. No mention of dinosaurs in the Bible. No mention of any number of historical creatures physical evidence of their existence can be found in any natural history museum. None of these things are mentioned in the Bible. And the Bible, according to the Catholic Church, is the dictate of the history of the earth. So take a listen to this. Pope Benedict told a gathering of scientists, including British cosmologist Stephen Hawking, on Friday that there was no contradiction between believing in God and empirical science. One more time. Benedict, who briefly met with the wheelchair-bound physicist at an event hosted by the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, described science as the pursuit of knowledge about God's creation. Quote, "There is no opposition between faith's understanding of creation and the evidence of empirical sciences." Are you mad? There's nothing but contradiction. There's nothing but opposition. The two don't go together at all. Quote, "Galileo saw nature as a book whose author is God." Now, okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to fill time while I confirm this rather than wait for somebody in the chat room to confirm this for me. Because I believe Galileo was excommunicated from the church. It would help if I spelled it right. Just absolutely ridiculous that he would even say that, ignoring the history of his own church. Let's see, okay, right here, right from Wikipedia. Church controversy. Western Christian biblical references, Psalm 93:1, Psalm 96:10, Chronicles 16:30, include text stating, "The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved," in the same translation, blah, 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 blah. Galileo defended heliocentrism and claimed it was not contrary to those scripture passages. He took Augustine's position on scripture, not to take every passage literally, particularly when the scripture in question is a book of poetry and songs, not a book of instructions or history. By 1616, attacks on Galileo had reached a head, and he went to Rome to try to persuade church authorities not to ban his ideas. In the end, Cardinal Bellarmine, acting on directives from the Inquisition, delivered him an order not to hold or defend the idea that the earth moves and the sun stands still. The decree did not prevent Galileo from discussing heliocentrism hypothetically. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Looking for the end of this. The loss of many of his defenders in Rome because of dialogue concerning two chief world systems, Galileo was ordered to stand trial on suspicion of heresy in 1633. So the man who allegedly saw nature as a book authored by God was put on trial by the church for heresy. So, yeah. Let's see. Just looking through here to see if there was any final... I'm just trying to read quickly. Galileo died January 8th, 1642. Yeah, no, nothing. All right.
We forgave them in like the 70s or something.
The 1970s or the 1700s? Okay. So there's nothing in here about him being excommunicated. Just that he's... Okay. All right. I believe you. I just... It's just I... In a quick glance of Galileo's Wikipedia page, you couldn't find it.
You know what? I should have just read the next paragraph in the article, because it's right here. Catholic Church found 17th century astronomer Galileo guilty of heresy for insisting the Earth revolved around the sun. It did not rehabilitate him until 1992.
Oh, wow, 90s.
Yes, the 90s, not the 70s. Hawking is a guest at a week-long event which will explore the theme scientific insights into the evolution of the universe and of life. In an interview with Reuters last year, Hawking said he was, quote, not religious in the normal sense. "I believe the universe is governed by the laws of science," he said. "The laws may have been decreed by God, but God does not intervene to break the laws." The Catholic Church teaches theistic evolution, which accepts evolution as scientific theory. Proponents see no reason why God could not have used an evolutionary process in forming the human species. Yeah, that kind of goes against everything that's in the Bible. Yeah, we're gonna need you to modify that book. Come in on a Saturday. The pontiff admired the technology that allows Hawking to speak through a voice synthesizer. Hawking is crippled by a muscle disease that has lost the use of his natural voice. Hawking's author of the best-selling book, Brief History of Time, will speak about the origin of the universe at a closed-door event. Woe would it be a fly on the wall of that little shindig. Hawking probably expounds the concepts of the creation of the universe via theories such as the Big Bang. You can imagine what a bunch of Catholic priests, bishops, and cardinals are going to think about that. But how can they even say that? How can they even venture to say that there's no opposition between a belief in God and a belief in the theories of evolution? It all goes against what's in the Bible. All of it. I mean, the Bible is bunk, we all know that, but this book is allegedly what they base their entire existence around. And now they're changing their minds? No. I mean, I guess they can. There's nothing stopping them. But what does that say about 2,000 years of Catholic doctrine? It's all bullshit. All garbage. To sit there and just pull a complete 180 and say, this works. We think this, but it doesn't go against this, even though it does. How anyone can take the Catholic Church seriously now. It's beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me. All right. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back. It was one of two. Hopefully we'll have time for both of them. Maybe I'll run a tad late. I wanted to talk about doctors prescribing placebos. And I also wanted to talk about science having completely mapped out the genome of the boxer. And by boxer, I don't mean Mike Tyson. I mean the dignified animal, the dog. All right, stick around. We'll have more when we come back. Stick around. You're listening to Satanism Today.
Now available from Purging Talon is the debut authored book by Church of Satan Magister Matt G. Paradise, Bearing the Devil's Mark. Bearing the Devil's Mark is a bold and no-nonsense treatise on the subject of Satanism. Not from the perverse pen of bitter and jealous Christians, or even their pagan counterparts, but straight from the satanic perspective itself. Sex, love, politics, technology, the God religions, and more. All brought to you by someone with over 25 years of actively living the satanic philosophy. To order, log on to PurgingTalon.com. Bearing the Devil's Mark, new from Purging Talon. Do you bear the mark?
You know, dogs are different than cats, and hey, what if Jack Nicholson were...
Hey, what if We Are the World was sung by the cast of Friends? I think it might go something like this.
Hi, everyone, I'm Jay Leno. Anyone remember when I was funny? Eat Doritos.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dane Cook.
Are you fed up with comedy that's made for the masses? Sick of stand-up comedian hacks with the same old routines that you've heard 1,000 times before? Equally tired of shock jocks who equate loudness with laughter? Hello, my name is Reverend Bill M., creator and host of The Devil's Mischief, a show where every week I present a new hour of comedy and novelty of devilish proportions. So tune in to The Devil's Mischief. Visit devilsmischief.com or radiofreesatan.com to download the latest podcast. The Devil's Mischief. Carnal comedy clips and netherworld novelty numbers simply not made for the masses.
Available now from the House of Netherworld. A stirring and brilliant tribute to the founder of the Church of Satan, Dr. Anton Zandor LaVey. The Anton LaVey bust has been sculpted in the neoclassical style of the late 19th century and reflects a refined and artistic sensibility. This will surely become the centerpiece of many an altar in the finest of lairs. Each bust is hand-cast and hand-finished in a faux bronze designer polyresin and will outlast us all. This profound piece of artwork can be yours for $135 plus shipping and will include a special blend granular incense entitled Maestro, courtesy of femaleaddictions.com. The Anton LaVey bust is also available in a special Iron Age finish, which is available to Church of Satan members only. Production on this product was limited to 200 pieces, so order yours today. www.antonlaveybust.com. www.antonlaveybust.com.
Damen und Herren, the comedy stylings of Heather Height. Hate Speech Radio, every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, and CringeHumorRadio.com. Achtung!
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
I love They are so delicate, so light, so close to being nothing, but so emphatically something. They are subtle and tend to be wasted on
beer.
I'm Dave Ingram.
And me, Donovan Spensley.
And you can join us at
DarkSentinel.dk
for a multitude of metal bands.
What fun.
Crap, cream, everything in between.
And more alcohol than you can shake an empty beer crate at.
Nothing makes a more exotic party.
The same diluted metal claptrap as abused by Vincent Price.
Well, almost.
Pork.
You'll be sparkling with larceny at
www.darksentinel.dk.
Sit back and enjoy the compliment.
Piss off!
Warning, the contents of this show actually make sense.
We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. I'm very, very pissed off.
It's Satanism Today. Here's your host, David Harris.
631-458-0592 is the phone number. As I speak to you in the velvet tones of my natural voice, not like certain douchebags that do shows out of Chicago. I'm coming for you, Eric, as I know you're listening. So, 631-458-0592 is the phone number. Or you can Skype us. The Skype ID is Satanism Today Radio if you've got the old Skype program on your computer. And if you're out there listening in podcast land, you can email the show at reverendharris@satanismtoday.net. Ah. Any grain in the chat room says, David can tell you that the sky is falling and make it sound like foreplay. Aw, thank you. So, we talk a lot about on this show, especially in the past, not so much recently because I've been election-obsessed. But we talk a lot about the power of the mind, and obviously it's the cornerstone of satanic magic. Of course, that exists within each and every single one of us. It doesn't come from any deity. It doesn't come from any god or gods, plural. It comes from inside you. And nowhere is it more apparent than when a doctor prescribes a placebo to a patient, and the patient, thinking that the medicine is helping them, heals themselves. Yeah, this is a clip from NPR.
A new survey has uncovered a little secret of American doctors. Many prescribe pills that don't have any specific effect on the illness of the patient. In other words, placebos, harmless pills that the patient is supposed to think are real medicine. NPR's Richard Knox has more.
Placebos are common in medical research. One group of volunteers gets a test drug, the other group a look-alike sugar pill. Everybody's told up front they could get one or the other. But the new survey is about placebos in everyday medical care without patients' knowledge. The idea is that the patient thinks the pill will help, it might. The survey results are in the current issue of the British Medical Journal. Of nearly 700 U.S. internal medicine doctors and arthritis specialists surveyed, half said they regularly prescribe placebos for conditions that haven't responded to treatment, like chronic pain or fatigue. Most often it's a vitamin pill or over-the-counter painkiller, although some prescribe an antibiotic or sedative, which could be harmful. Typically, doctors tell patients the placebo is potentially helpful, but not designed for your specific illness. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel is head of ethics at the National Institutes of Health and a study author.
Half of all American internists and rheumatologists using placebos was a real surprise to me. I was pretty astonished.
Dr. Howard Brody was surprised, too. He's an expert on placebos at the University of Texas in Galveston. He didn't have anything to do with the survey, but he says it shows how much doctors' attitudes have changed over the past few decades.
For many, many, many years, the typical reaction of a physician was, well, real doctors don't prescribe placebos. A placebo is a fake medicine, so only a quack would prescribe a placebo.
Since the 1960s, the dominant ethic among U.S. physicians has been patient autonomy. It means the patient's in charge. He's entitled to know everything about his care. But if many doctors are handing out placebos, that's at odds with this ethic, Emanuel says.
On the one hand, if we have placebos and they work and they make people feel good, we're advancing, promoting people's health and promoting their welfare. If it requires us to deceive them, we're undermining autonomy.
The American Medical Association recognizes the dilemma. 2 years ago, it adopted a policy that the use of a placebo without a patient's knowledge can undermine trust and even result in medical harm. Robert Sade, a South Carolina surgeon, was chair of the AMA's Ethics Council when the new policy was adopted.
All right, I'm breaking in here just because on that last point, something kind of struck me as odd. Now, we all know what a placebo is. A placebo is something that is not really designed to do anything pertaining to the illness in question. Generally, when a placebo is given, it's a sugar pill, or maybe a vitamin, like the clip says. And again, it's all the patient's mind ends up healing them because their thoughts are geared towards the fact that the medicine is helping them, and they end up getting better. Now, something that somebody said there kind of struck me as odd. Prescribing a placebo without the patient's knowledge could undermine trust between the doctor and the patient. The patient can't know that he's getting a placebo. It defeats the whole purpose of prescribing a placebo. The patient's supposed to think that it's going to help. The patient's supposed to think that it's medicine. The patient doesn't think that it's medicine, it's not going to work. I don't know, that just struck me as kind of odd that someone would see some logic in informing the patient that they're getting a placebo.
Patients who use placebos are not being, quote, unethical, end quote, but they're skirting on the edges of ethical behavior.
The AMA says if doctors want to use placebos, they should tell patients that one or more of the pills they're getting is not specifically designed for their illness, but some have found it helpful. Studies have shown that placebos sometimes do help people who expect them to work.
The physician would tell the patient, I'm going to give you these two medications. I want you to take this red pill for a month and record your symptoms. And I want you to take the blue pill for a month and record your symptoms in a log.
It's sort of a little experiment involving a single patient. Either or both pills could be placebos. But some say this is just a more elaborate kind of deception. Again, Ezekiel Emanuel, the NIH ethics chief.
Incidentally, the doctor speaking in that was Dr. Morpheus. No, just kidding. You know, red pill, blue pill, little Matrix joke. Sorry.
I think we're all just a little nervous about that as a common practice. So even though it might be on the right side of deception, we're not being fully frank with the patient.
Emanuel doesn't condemn all placebo use. After all, he says, it shows that American doctors understand that the mind plays a big role in healing. And that's not a bad thing. Richard Knox, NPR News.
So, ultimately, where do you stand on that? Obviously, if a patient is getting better, the ends justify the means, some would say. Others, still, like some of the doctors you hear in that clip, view this as blatantly unethical, or at the very least, skirting the edge of the ethical oath that doctors take. I'm not going to lie, I'm on the fence about this. Again, I'm all for health, and I'm a firm believer in the effectiveness of placebos and the power of the healing powers of the mind. But at the same time, no one likes being deceived, especially by your doctor. And what could potentially happen if you suddenly found out that you were taking a placebo, even though your symptoms cleared up and you got better? I don't know what the studies are about people suddenly being informed of their placebo, experiencing a relapse in their illness. I don't know if any statistical studies have been done on that kind of thing. But I'd be curious. Truthfully, wonder what kinds of effects the sudden gaining of that knowledge would have on a person. Very, 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 very strange. Like Witch Tiberi in the chat room says, it's very much a double-edged sword. Ultimately, the goal is the healing of the patient, and the mind is a very powerful tool. Like I said earlier, it's the cornerstone of satanic magic. Projecting that energy from your mind, from yourself, out into the world, or in cases like this, inward, to heal yourself. Where does the ethical line lie? I don't know. I think this one's too close to call, even for me, the opinionated ass that I am. We got a few minutes left, so let's talk about mapping the boxer's genome. Right, Buster Douglas. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see here. I think, is there a sound clip with this? I think there might be. Let's take a look if this is it.
Why are some dogs excellent ball chasers and others perfect for your lap? The answer to dog differences is hidden in specific sequences of DNA called genes. For the first time, molecular biologists have completely mapped out the genes of a boxer.
The boxer genome will help us get at the genes responsible for diseases and traits in dogs.
Dogs and humans share many of the same diseases like diabetes, epilepsy, and cancer. Mapping dog genes could be the chief tool in finding disease-causing genes in people.
The same genes will be responsible for similar diseases in humans.
Genes that cause disease in dogs are easier to find than in people. Mutations in a dozen different genes can cause human disease, almost impossible to find. In dogs, only one gene mutation can cause a disease, and that same mutated gene causes an identical disease in humans.
Then we have a better handle on what is causing the disease in humans also.
Studying dog families also helps get a better handle on their own health and help eliminate dog diseases.
Testing can be done by breeders to limit the passage of these mutations into future generations.
A good way to ensure next generations are barking up the right tree. I'm Cynthia Demas reporting.
So through the mapping of this gene, they think they're going to be able to make some breakthroughs in the study and preventative care of some diseases that affect both dogs and humans. Like they said, diabetes, cancer. Fantastic. I have always been a big fan of genetic research. Something else that, you know, a lot of Christians are not a fan of, you know, particularly when it comes to things like stem cell research. I find that when you that scientific exploration of this nature is stunted in this country, that so much emphasis is placed on, you know, on religion in this country, that, you know, that federal funding is not given to doctors who are trying to perform this kind of important research. It's mind-boggling. That's why, as much as I detest, you know, the vast number of socialist governments across Europe, one thing they've got on us is a desire to learn more about medicine. You know, at the expense of what, you know, whatever, you know, religious values may be permeating the region. It's something that is long overdue to come back to this country. We're falling behind. We are falling behind the times in research, medicine, science, technology. There was a point in time where the greatest ideas and the greatest inventions in the world were thought up by people in the United States of America. And this kind of thing doesn't originate from here anymore. It doesn't, because too many people let religion get in the way. Jay, nothing's right, and now they're being thought up by the Japanese. So Malakuma gets all the cool toys before the rest of us. What? Malakuma, how early is it over there right now? I figured at least it was like the sun was coming up when you used to listen to the show when we were Tuesday nights. Now it's 4 in the afternoon here in the States. God, what time is it? It's 6 a.m. there. Gets up at 5 just to listen to this program. She's the best. But again, stunted. Technologically, medically stunted. By the faith of this country's leaders. And I'm no fan of government subsidization. You know, in a perfect capitalist society, private investors would provide the medical community with all the money they needed. You You know, but we do pay tax dollars, and some of those tax dollars are supposed to be allocated towards medical research, and it's not being properly allocated because of certain people's religious beliefs. It's very, very nauseating. All right. That's going to do it for our first day in our new time slot. I want to thank everybody who made the transition. Just about all the regulars made it. Figured Saturday afternoon, you know, people can sit around, listen to the show before they go out for the evening, especially if you're the kind of person who likes to go out on a Saturday night. I know Heather and I do sometimes. So if you enjoyed the program and you want to learn a little bit more about the Church of Satan, the beliefs, tenets, and philosophies of Satanism, you can log on to the Church of Satan's website at www.churchofsatan.com or run on down to your local bookstore and pick up a copy of The Satanic Bible by Dr. Anton Zandor LaVey, available in fine Avon paperback. While you're there, get yourself a copy of The Satanic Scriptures by our current high priest, Peter H. Gilmore, available from Scapegoat Publishing, www.scapegoatpublishing.com, a fine extension of Satanic philosophy, if I do say so myself. I want to thank all of the people who listened today. I want to thank all of the sponsors. If you would like to advertise, that's right, we're going to start up production on the old Harris Media Production Company starting up again. So if you want to advertise on the show, email advertising@satanismtoday.net for rate quotes to advertise on this show. 16,000 people a month listen to this program, so that's give you an indication of who's downloading the show. Podcast, listening live. Answer to the question that Tiberius is asking in the chat room. For you, yes. Everyone else, it's going up. Other than that, we'll see you all next week. Join us when Warlock Sonny Belavance joins us on the show to talk about his latest release, The Devil's Guitar. He's going to hate me for saying it that way. Until we talk again, hail Satan. Satanism Today is a production of Harris Media. Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. Any unauthorized rebroadcast of this particular piece of audio is strictly prohibited, ill-advised, and could be hazardous to your health. Have a good day, all.